this kind of caught us all off guard, where one day people were going to the office and the next day they were told they couldn't come in. Right. So they went and got all their stuff. And for, you know, a good amount of time, we weren't sure how long this was going to last. And people would grab folding tables or whatever they could to create their own desk or office environment.
I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Dan Smolin Podcast. We help people to navigate the future of work, to work that is profound, protects the planet, empowers people and communities, and is fun to do, meaningful work. The stories that our guests tell and the insights that they provide will inspire you to connect with work and experiences that stoke your passions and make the world a better place. For the future of work is meaningful work. On this episode, we get creative. Our guest is Leah Margolis, the talented principal of Leah Margolis Design, an interior design company that helps people to create dazzling work from home spaces. The pandemic shifted many in the professional ranks away from traditional offices to working from home, and the massive shift in work left many to contend with small and unimaginative spaces in houses and apartments to manage projects or engage others on Zoom. Leah's work helps people who work from home get the most out of their square footage to create separate working spaces for parents and for children who now must contend with virtual classroom instruction. We cover a lot of ground in this episode, including how the pandemic has reshaped our sense of working space, color and decor preferences, and Leah's thoughts on the future of dining and living rooms. I spoke with Leah Margolis in January 2021 over Zoom. Leah Margolis, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Before we get started, I was wondering if you could tell us about Leah Margolis Design. How would you describe the scope of your work and the kinds of clients that you serve?
So we're a full service interior design firm. We do small projects as well as large whole house design. We also have a design build branch where we get involved in renovations and new build. But we like to make sure our services are accessible to anyone. So we can do anything from home selections to if someone needs a new window treatment, they call us and we'll come in and help them.
So 2020 had to be a transformative year for your business. It's one thing to design livable space for people. It's quite another thing to design space for living and working requirements. Can you describe for our listeners some of the challenges that your clients present you with to cover their needs of living and working in the same space?
2020 kind of turned housing needs upside down. Pre-COVID, it was all about group spaces, this open floor plan living, space for everyone to do anything they could need. And now it's really become where people need these separate, quiet, like little compartment areas where they can work and not be distracted by kids running around or animals everywhere. And in many homes, you know, we have two working parents, so each person needs their own separate space. It's been really interesting going into, you know, even former client home. I have a lot of repeat clients. And just in the last year, I've come back and I've seen our very well decorated living rooms turned into home offices. I've seen clients retreat to their unfinished basement because there's a toddler running around upstairs, which is good for business because now they want to refinish their basement. But yeah, it's been really interesting to me. So in some of these circumstances, you know, I have a lot of people asking questions about insulation and soundproofing and what materials can be used. So it's been really quite challenging for a lot of people, especially with these open floor plan homes, trying to make it work.
I think a lot in terms of space. In the old notion was that some people needed considerable space to stage a home office. I built a home in 2000 and I designed my own little sanctuary that was just my office and nothing else. But real estate is really expensive, and what people buy today may not cover or may not offer dedicated space for working. So how do you work with your clients to create a space that serves both the living and the working needs?
But we're talking over Zoom. So right. Much of work life is now over the computer, is over the internet, is paperless. People, even before pre-COVID, I'm going to keep saying pre-COVID.
Right.
Pre-COVID, I had clients who worked from home and they literally had a laptop and they would stick it on the kitchen island and do an entire workday and conference calls right there in the middle of their kitchen. That hasn't changed. So many people are paperless and don't worry about the storage or, you know, every once in a while I find I have a client that needs a compartment to put a printer or something like that. But other than that, and that we can usually stash in a closet if we need to. Other than that, it really is just about a working surface, about whether it be a kitchen table in a dining room. Some people don't even want a surface. They'll sit on a bed, the private space, if that's in a bedroom or in a big closet. This kind of caught us all off guard, where one day people were going to the office and the next day they were told they couldn't come in.
Right.
So they went and got all their stuff. And for, you know, a good amount of time, we weren't sure how long this was going to last. And people would grab folding tables or whatever they could to create their own desk or office environment. As this developed and as people realized that it was going to be like this for the long haul, a lot of furniture manufacturers have stepped up. Everyone has heard about those toilet paper shortages. There's
right.
also a severe shortage in office furniture, but they've come up with great options for like foldable desks or something that mounts to a wall and can lift down, or a console table, something very small in scale. It's really just about the aesthetic and what it looks like. Because houses, you know, are small or people don't have as much space, it's so important that at least the look works with whatever else is going on in that room, especially if a living room is turning into an office during the day. You know, you don't want like an ugly office space
right
in the middle of your living room.
And I'm dealing with that too. My daughter and I, we live in 1,200 square feet. And so now we're thinking about the living room. And we're looking at a sofa brand. It's sectionals and you can kind of put them together, but some of the components lift up and it's storage space underneath the cushions.
Yeah. You have to be so clever these days about everything. You know, it's right now. So I'm in the process of designing an office for a client and she does need a storage compartment for a printer. She has like a nice size office, but we're mounting almost like a T-shaped desk on a wall with a leg. So she has the option to kind of go from computer area, you know, at her desk and then turn around and right there is a work surface. You know,
right.
It's a very clever way, but it's not about so much furniture as much as she just needs the surface space and it needs to work for her.
I don't think you need as much furniture, right?
No. We
don't have it as much in the way of technology.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to you on a MacBook Pro.
Mm-hmm.
It's very small.
Yeah.
And yet it does everything that I need. My printer is wireless. It can be anywhere. I can hide it in a closet.
Yeah. And most people don't even really use books anymore. Everything like manuals, everything is online. I am not one of those people. I collect design books and I drive everyone in my family nuts, but that's something I will never get rid of. But most people don't want the clutter anymore, especially with so many people in small spaces. It right. feels like very claustrophobic to have stuff everywhere.
So let's talk about Zoom. I liken it to being in a TV studio in the sense that what your guest sees has to be pleasing to the eye, well lit, and all kinds of ambient sound has to be trapped so that it doesn't sound echoey. What are the concerns that you try to mitigate with your clients who say, Leah, I need this space for Zoom?
Right. And I do have that. So a lot of it is just around, you know, you said you think of it as like a TV set. For me, it's about these shelter magazines that I collect and are constantly trying to find storage space for. It's just about like that one key spot. So wherever your camera is focusing, you want to make sure it's clean of distraction. My recommendation would be kind of keep it out of the action. So if you can aim towards a wall, maybe have a piece of art on the wall, a wallpaper for texture, make sure the colors are pleasing. Lighting is so important. So obviously, if you have light coming from behind, it's going to wash the picture out. But it's mostly about stashing that clutter away. I'm not going to pretend that no one has it, but putting it so you can't see it. Just who cares what happened, what it looks like off camera, as long as you have a nice shot behind you. Because the worst is if it's distracting for people.
What are concerns that people have about decor? Yeah, I grew up in the contemporary furniture business, so the kinds of things that I had probably had a minimalist look to it. Mm-hmm. But what kinds of concerns do your clients have about, can I use this? Can I use that? I really like this kind of style, this kind of texture. And given the fact that they're on Zoom for most of the day, are there parameters that go along with that?
Well, obviously you'd want anything behind them to be appropriate.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. That would be the big one. No, I mean, with clients, I think a lot of people kind of second guess their taste and they don't trust themselves so much. That is not a complaint because that's a lot of why people hire me. They just want someone to like help them make sure that it works. But there is this fear that you're like almost being judged by who, I mean, we all do it, right? We watch TV and we see these new people on or they're interviewing and you're like, oh, what does their house look like? Right? I mean,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Like coworkers do that too. So yes, if you don't want to get into that, maybe simpler is better or neutral in terms of color, but also in terms of style, maybe that's better. But it really just depends on who you're on the call with and how professional you need to be, that kind of stuff. So I will say, I do have one client who is in a very prestigious position. And with him, like it was very specific. We needed a plant in the corner. We needed a nice piece of art on the wall because we knew who his audience was. It's about that. Different decor is expected for different industries, right? Like I'm not a scholar, but you would expect someone who in that position to have a more studious space.
Well, one would think, I guess. So when we entered last year, about 8% of the workforce worked from home. And then, of course, during the pandemic, everybody was working from home, but the number was probably about 60%. And it's leveled off, but the share of people that are working from home or working remotely, it's never going to go back to 8%. It's probably going to be around 40% because some people like it. So as we pivot away from traditional office settings, how is that going to affect how we build and design new residential space? And I know your husband's a builder, so I'm really interested in the answer to this question.
Yeah. And I'm like so fascinated as well, like with this whole how this is going to transform again, this open floor plan living. It's still alive and well, only during certain hours of the day. So up here, where I'm in upstate New York, there's a ton of new construction and every new home I walk into, you walk in and there's like a little den or office, you know, right at the entry. And I found that clients are concerned about what it looks like because you can see it from the street.
Right.
People see it when they walk in, but that's not really all that conducive to really functional workspace, just because you don't want to worry about what's on your desk when you leave for the end of the day or you're running into the kitchen to make dinner. I mean, not that I have any insider knowledge, but for me, my guess would be that office space is going to become more of a private thing. We're in the process of redesigning our house, and I just wanted to make sure that I have little study nooks throughout, private space away from where we'll have guests on the second floor, little desk areas that I can pull out my laptop and you know, answer a few emails. That's how I see it transforming. That's what I'm doing a lot of. I have clients who have, you know, obviously the easiest thing to do is if you have a guest room to turn that into an office. But again, we're talking about these private spaces. But the open floor plan living is really nice, but there are other things that I'm starting to see. We're talking not to get away from work, but we're talking about specific spots for exercise equipment because people right. aren't in the gym anymore, right? Or like a hobby room because people like to do craft projects and they're stuck at home all the time now. So it's the same thing with work. Again, size doesn't matter in this scenario, but like it's all about, for me, tucking it away so that you don't need to worry about what it looks like.
So we're in Northern Virginia outside of DC, and Marcia, as a side hustle, sells things like vintage clothing and advertising. We have thousands of old magazines from like 60, 70, 80 years ago, and she sells those ads. And where are they being put? Into man caves and she sheds.
Yeah. And that we saw, I mean, up here, as soon as like the lockdown hit, there were advertisements for stuff like that. All, yeah. You know, it's like trying to build all these separate spaces. So I'm lucky. I have a fairly large studio space on my property. We built it about 3 years ago. It still is fairly tight for two adults and two kids, but it works really nicely if it's just my husband and I working. But up here, we live in the city of Saratoga Springs, and the rules and regulations about a second building on your property are very strict. We're lucky that we got away with that. They allowed us, because we did everything we were supposed to do, that they allowed us to build. So a lot of people in our immediate area don't have the option of like stepping away from home or creating a separate spot. It's really tough.
So I couldn't do this interview without asking about color. And when I started producing this episode, I think the Pantone colors of 2021 had just come out, and they were like lemon yellow and gray tone, which kind of surprised me, but I felt like it was such a throwback.
Yeah.
How do you go about color with clients, especially if, like, as you just said, sometimes they're afraid of color?
Right. Well, I will tell you, those Pantone colors will do nothing. That's what I would say. Yellows, greens. I mean, those are the colors. I have some pale skinned people in my family, and the yellows and greens like radiate off of their skin and they all look ill. I'd say no yellow or green. People always ask like what the nicest colors are in bathrooms, you know, so you want to look at yourself and you want your skin to glow. Yeah. And I think it's a little similar, you know, so we rosy pink tones, obviously not everyone wants a pink room.
That wouldn't go for me.
but like a rosy undertone or something like that. Neutrals, obviously darker colors can be really jarring. So neutrals, but if you can kind of get away from those gray or the green undertones, that would be better. So something with like a little hint of red. You know, there are a million whites. It's like one has blue,
I know.
One has yellow, one has... So you want something more in the warmer family.
Oh, when we sold our house 5-6 years ago and I went and got the swatches and I was like, how many different shades of taupe are there?
Yeah, a million.
And you can see behind me in this apartment, they paint everything taupe, which in a way is kind of nice because I grew up with white walls and it just makes you tired.
Yeah.
So what other types of things are you expecting in the new year in terms of this work-life balance that is being brought into the home? Anything coming on the horizon that you think is interesting?
Before this, it never occurred to me that this could happen, never in a million years. So I just think because everyone was so caught off guard, they are now very focused on preparing just in case something happens again. So there is a ton of work happening just to make the home work life work, really. And it's very interesting. It's been challenging. I have a ton of incredibly patient clients who are still waiting on desk chairs and things that we ordered in April. But I do think that this is one of those things that is going to shape new construction. The home design is constantly evolving based on everyone's needs. And it never occurred to anyone that this would be a need. So I will, just going back to that, you know, It used to be that a home office was bonus. Right? Like I used to have clients that would say, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll work from home, you know, half a day, or it would be nice to have the option. And we would do like these catch-all spaces in kitchens with, you know, where you could stick your mail and a few files and stuff like that. Right? And that doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So now it's almost as if people are now saying that not only one office, but sometimes two offices are a necessity.
If you have more than one adult in the house, sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really quite crazy. So I am interested to see if it does slowly, if people do start going back to work, if that changes, or if for a very long time, people are going to be concerned that this could all start all over again.
Okay. I got one more question to ask you. What's going to happen to dining rooms? Do we even use them? I mean, I have every house I built. I don't think the last house we had, I think I used the dining room 6 times over 20 years. What do you think?
I'm a traditionalist and I tend to go very contemporary, but I'm a traditionalist in terms of rooms.
Yeah.
So, you know, I grew up, you know, my parents, I grew up in a house where there was a living room and a dining room and we weren't really supposed to go in it. You know?
Right.
Right. And I would love to have that for my kids. I would love to have a space that they were never but that's just not what's happening anymore. I like that people are using every room, every corner of their home, but it is nice to have like this special occasion spot, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It brings me back to my childhood.
You know, we built a big house and the two rooms we didn't use were the living room and the dining room. The living room, actually, when my daughter was a baby, we turned into a playroom. That was great. We had a slide. Oh, she loved it. And then we turned it into an art gallery, which was kind of fun for me, but it wasn't really a living room. And the dining room, as I said, we used 6 times, 3 of which were probably Thanksgiving, you know?
So the big thing now is use what you have. So with china and dishware, like that's the kind of stuff, china, when I was growing up, it would always just for the holidays is when you used your china. And I try to bring mine out because I still have china, because why else would you have it but to enjoy using it, right?
So we do that. Use it every day, though.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Your food tastes better.
Yeah, food tastes better, absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know. I have to admit, I don't think they're coming back. I don't think these rooms are coming back just because no one can afford to have these spaces that are not being used anymore.
Indeed. Leah Margolis, this has been a lot of fun. I've known you a long time. So for our listeners who want to know more about you, can you point them to your social media?
Yes. So my Instagram is LeahMDesign at Instagram, right?
Right.
And I do have a website, LeahMargolisDesign.com.
Thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. This was fun.
Links to Leia Margolis Design's social media are provided in the show notes for this episode at dansmolin.com. Please join us again for more inspiring stories from people who are real-time reimagining the work that they do and hope to do. You can subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts or listen to current and past episodes on our website at dansmolin.com. And please take a moment to positively rate and comment wherever you listen to the podcast, because that helps us to connect with new listeners. I'm Dan Smolin, and this is the Dan Smolin Podcast. Thank you for joining us on an amazing journey to the future of work doing meaningful work. And do remember this, our best days lie ahead. Let's connect again next week.